So I want to talk to you about being blessed this morning. And, you know, really the topic area is a covenant. People who are covenant people with God. God made a covenant with us. Well, we see in Genesis. And we see that God cut a covenant with Abraham. But he didn't cut it with Abraham. Actually, he cut it with Jesus. And Abraham cut all the animals and so on. And he put him to sleep. And God walked through that covenant with his son, Jesus. And he made an everlasting covenant that cannot be broken. And covenant is the strongest thing you could ever have. And my wife teaches on it, actually. She teaches on the covenant. And I know Miss Joanne taught it as well. And if you don't want to know something about covenant, it's good to know about covenant. You know, we make promises, we make oaths, but you know, God will never break a promise. And if he says something, you can count on it. And but if you don't count on it, it's another thing too, right? So anyway, let's go Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to read verse 14 and 2 as well. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. That's when God did it. He rescued us. The King James says, Christ has redeemed us. Redeemed. I want you to remember that word because it's significant. Redeemed us from the curse of the law when he was hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So I can see we're having great cooperation with our system. And you pray for this system. We paid for it, and they're not fixing it. I know Kendra spent a whole day here. She had her potions in the back, mixing, and trying to fix everything up there. But it's not there now, but I know they're working hard in the heavenlies. Verse 14 says, For it is written, Cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree. I hope you brought your Bibles because this is why you need your Bible. And this is why you need your Bible, and you should have your whatever you have to follow along. So let me just kind of introduce this a little bit more, and I'll introduce it again and again. That many don't realize that God had a plan long ago before you were born. The Bible says that God had a plan about you and for you before he created the world. He knew what's going to happen, you know, God's sovereign being. He knew you were going to live in Thunder Bay at this time, many years ago. He called you by name. He knew where you're going to be situated. He knew you're going to be in the north. And the Bible says, I'm just blessed to hear that, you know, Psalm 139 says, God, when you were in the God's womb, when you were in your mother's womb, God knew you, how you were being put together. He knew all your days written in the book, it says in Psalm 139, read it. He says God knew about you long, long, long before. So you're not a surprise. You might be surprised to others. You know, so many people, if they don't realize that it really does a number to someone who doesn't understand their purpose in life. And for many years I struggled about that. But I thank God I got born again in my early 20s. And God kept me alive this year. Now I'm heading towards my 70s very quickly, it seems. But I try to put on the brakes, put a little bit of makeup on. How's my makeup looking this morning? You know, God had a promise for us and a covenant. And many don't realize that God had a covenant and they don't count on it. When things go wrong in their lives and when they're struggling, they don't realize they can count on that covenant, that God will come through. And I want to point out the fact to you that you can do that today, whether you have family issues, whether you have personal struggles like addictions, there's all kinds of addictions. If you have nervous problems, anxiety issues, God has a way out for you. I struggle with them. And people seem to like to keep their issues. I don't know what they call them today. You know, you can't seem to get over these things. You like to pet them around for a while. You can be healed from those hurts. You can be healed from them. And you don't need to have many years of psychiatric work. Jesus can help you. And sometimes all you need is a good friend to talk to. And, you know, they can listen to you. And that's one of the things I learned about when I was a Catholic. I dump all my sins on the priest every Sunday and start fresh again. And that's what I believed. I believe that God took him, and he's got him. But the Bible says that God laid all our sickness on Jesus on the cross. So when you understand that, then you're not afraid anymore. That if you were to die right now, if I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven. And some people don't believe that. They don't understand that because it's a covenant that God's given us. If you were to drop dead right now, you wouldn't even know you dropped dead. You wouldn't even feel anything. You want to try? No. Nobody wants to try now, but, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, my mother said when she died, she never felt anything. And I know different ones who died. And Paul even said over there in Corinthians, he said, I went up to the third heaven. I don't know if I went in my body. I don't know if I was out of my body. So, you just pass through. You're passing through. And it doesn't take you 3-4 days. It doesn't take you a week to get there. Some people say, well, so-and-so died. Now he's starting his spiritual journey. No, you started your spiritual journey long ago. Your journey is here. You know, we live in two worlds, natural world, spiritual world. And when you die, it's just that your body has been separated. You know, your spirit is separated from your body, and you're not in another realm. It doesn't take you 3 days to get to heaven. The Bible says when you die, you're in the very presence of God in the moment of time. So, you know, you're gonna believe the scriptures. So, the Bible says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So Jesus became accursed for us. So many people don't realize that God had a plan. And God promised a man called Abraham. Abraham, which he created from him, a nation called Israel. And, later on he included the Gentiles in that plan that we will see here in a moment. And there was a curse. You know, the Bible says there was a curse that was brought on the people over in Genesis. The curse came upon all the world. Romans tells us that sin and death is spread to all men, for all men have sinned. And so this thing spread to everyone. And the curse, when we look at it, it says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, King James says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word redeemed means to buy back with a price. God bought us back with the death of Jesus when he poured out his blood for us. And he bought us back from him who stole us from God. And it came through Adam. The Bible says in the 5th chapter, you want to read about it. Adam sinned and, God gave us, the right to come back. And so it says here that the curse contained, there's a curse. This word here in Galatians 3:13, the curse, we see the curse described for us in Deuteronomy 28. And this curse, the word curse is not contained anywhere else. You know, we talk about the curse of the law. And the law itself contains that curse. And that curse was put on Jesus for us. I know I'm getting stuck with my words over here. So we are redeemed from that penalty. So you don't have to have to suffer anymore. For instance, my mom used to say, she was brought up strictly in a residential school. And she was taught every day the catechism. They taught her there, which some of it was good, some of it was real garbage. And some of us in some churches, too, and many, even some full gospel churches, some things are garbage, too. Not just for that one church. A lot of stuff, you got to make sure it's from the scriptures. Anything I teach you that's not in the Bible, it's garbage. You can throw that away. And some of the things that you teach is garbage, too. So we have to see it in the simplest form and see, is that scripture? So none of us are offended. And some people get mad at me because I mentioned something. But it's all garbage if it's not scripture. And so Jesus redeemed us from the penalty of that curse. And so God has blessed us with the promise that he gave Abraham. Everything God told Abraham belongs to you and me. And a lot of people say, well, he promised that to the Jews. Wait a minute. You need to read your Bible. I thank God I read my Bible through and through every year for the last, I don't know how many years now, many years. I read it every day for many, many years. Since I was 24 years old, I got born again. I began to study the Bible. And all these years, I began to see things in there. I'm actually right now in my 70, how old am I? I'm 67. I guess I'm 67. My wife says so. She told me one day I was 55 when I was actually 54. So she owes me 1 year. Yeah. Anyway, so Sydney, did he steal from you 1 year? Yeah. So you owe her a year too. So don't always blame your don't believe your husband and wife all the time. Because you check your birth certificate, take it out right now if you want to. Because they've been tricking you. Yeah, keep track of it yourself. After that, you forget, you know. So at a certain time in your life, you forget. How many of you forget once in a while? You say, I want to forget how old I am. Don't tell me. So God made this nation out of one man called Abraham. This nation is called Israel. And all the promises that God gave this man called Abraham, it was a faith proposition, had nothing to do with keeping laws. The laws are just to tell us how imperfect we are and that we need a Savior. It tells us that we can't do this alone, that we need Jesus. And so that's what the law is for, to tell us that there's a holy God and we need a Savior. And so he made that covenant, and we'll see that in the New Testament. He promised Abraham. And some of you say, you have to have circumcision. God promised Abraham before he had circumcised. He called him righteous before he was circumcised. So circumcision is only a sign that there was a promise made. So it didn't change the promise. So, whether you're circumcised or not, that's what Paul says, whether you're circumcised or not doesn't mean anything. The fact is that God gave us a promise. And everything he promised Abraham and everything that the Israelites went through relate to us. And Israel is a symbolic or an example of what happens to us when we obey God or disobey God. God had to use one nation to show the world who he was, and what he would do for them. And so that's why we have the Bible, to show us the old covenant and the new covenant. And that's all I have to say. Well, we'll give you some detail a little bit. So the Bible says that we're redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13 says we are redeemed from the curse of the law. As we saw here, Galatians 3:13, the book of Deuteronomy enumerates for us the blessings of God and the curses of God in Deuteronomy 28. The book of Deuteronomy says that, this is what Paul was referring to when he was speaking to the churches at Galatia in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about those curses contained in Deuteronomy 28. When he spoke to the churches of Galatia, there's a number of churches in Galatia, Christian churches that were established by Paul. And he said, Christ has redeemed us from those curses. So if you have a curse in your life and you have poverty in your life, you're going to be free right now from the curse of poverty. Never having enough. But God wants you to have more than enough. He wants you not just to just make it, you know, pay it. God wants you to have more than that. And he wants us to be healthy every day. You know, this week we struggled here at Faith City Church, a faith church with symptoms of sickness. And we had some problems with that. And I don't think I ever suffered from something like this all my life. And I've never missed church because of being sick. I would say, you have to drag me to church. And I'll sit there. As I'm not letting the devil beat me. And so, you know, we all suffered all these symptoms. And for 3 days, there was a supernatural miracle happened in my house, and I couldn't speak for 3 days. You know, I couldn't speak, and I heard in the Hussey's house, the little Hussey's, they didn't have someone speaking in their house. We lost our voices. A voice calling in the wilderness, make way. You know, so you know, it doesn't mean that you'll never suffer sickness or struggle through some time. It's not that I was cursed. It's just that, you know, somebody coughed on me. You know, different things happen to people. We live in a world that has lots of germs, right? And if you don't watch it, you know, it'll get on you, right? So anyway, doesn't mean you'll, you know, faith is about fighting through this, and that's what we do, right? So don't be silly. So Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, if we can go there. Are we able to go there today? Yeah? Are we there? Okay. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. He's talking to Israel. He's talking about nations, all the nations of the world. He said, I'm going to set you and give you, you will be an example to all the whole world. Amen. If you obey me and follow me. He's just not talking just to them. He's talking to you and me today. Then in verses 13 or verses 3 to 14 are mentioned the blessings of God. If you read, you'll see the blessings of God. Read it in different versions because you'll begin to see clearly what blessings, what belongs to you. Then, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15, he said, if you refuse to listen, that's called disobedience. That's called unbelief. Refusal to believe God. If you refuse to listen to the Lord, your God, and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Then from verse 16 to 68 are contained all the curses. These curses in these verses 16 to 68, these curses are divided in three sections for us. First of all, there is something called spiritual death, which includes natural death. That's separation from God. There's the last death, the Bible says, at the end of the world, there's a last death called eternal death. That death in hell will be cast in the lake of fire. There's a place called hell right now. That place and all the people that are in it, there's spirits in there, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. So they're not burning now, but they're suffering right now. I've had some people who said they went there. Pastor Ken told me he went there. No, some people said they've gone there and the Lord showed them. A number of people. And you can go to heaven. God can show you heaven and you can walk in heaven if God brought you there and showed you what heaven is like. That's not nothing for God. Paul talks about he went to heaven. I've had teachers that I taught me. They've gone to heaven. My pastor went to heaven. he was suffering greatly, and the Lord took him there, and he walked in heaven, and the Lord showed him heaven. And you know, Pastor Rick, he doesn't always talk about that. It's a secret. But people have gone to heaven, and people have gone to hell and saw hell. It's not burning right now. But one day, that whole place will be thrown into the lake of fire, the Bible says. There is a place called hell. Jesus talked about it. And you don't have to, none of you have to be afraid of it. None of you have to be afraid of it if you have Jesus. Everybody say, I have Jesus. See, you don't have to be afraid of this, see? When you know something, the devil can't scare you anymore. You know, we used to say things, he scared the hell out of me. Well, maybe that should happen. I mean, you don't want to go there. So these curses, the curse contains three areas. Spiritual death, number one, which includes natural death. And then there's poverty or lack. Poverty is a curse of the law. And then sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is a curse of the law. And we can have health in our lives. And you can have stuff. And you can have enough to live. You don't have to struggle from place to place, you know, and God wants us to have more than enough, not just to get by every week and worry about next month and so on. You know, the Bible says that Israel had shoes that never wore out for 40 years. How would you like to have shoes that never wore out? Hey, Jennifer? I mean, you like style, right? But, I mean, you don't want to have the same shoe all the time. We got a better deal now. So, God, the word redeemed, as I mentioned, means to buy back with a price. You can check this up yourself. It means to buy back with a price. We'll see that in the scriptures. The price was bought for us by God through Christ. The penalty was Jesus' death, in which he poured his blood out for us. And that's the covenant. So what is the curse, as we mentioned? We'll talk a little bit about the curse. There's a story here about a man called King Balak, of a Moabite king, and Balaam, the prophet. Let's go ahead and read this and see something here. We'll learn something here. Numbers 22, verse 1 to 6. Let's go ahead and read this here. You like reading stories? This is a story. So sit back and just listen to the story. Close your eyes. But don't fall asleep. I'm watching back there. If Joe back there, he's got his hat on. I see him. He thinks he's hiding from me, but I know he's there. I see his eyes kind of shoot out once in a while. So anyway, the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River across from Jericho. Balak, the son of Zippor, a Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites, and the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were and were terrified. The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in the native land of Pethor near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth. They're threatening me." You know, some people feel threatened. "So please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps then I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless and curses fall on people you curse." You know, he knew about this prophet. You know, the word curse means, the word curse itself, it means an expression of a wish of that misfortune or evil or doom, etc., will befall a person or a group of people. So he said, "I want you to make sure evil comes to these people. I want to make sure that misfortune comes." So you have to understand that God wants you. You know, when you were born, when God created you, He did not design you to go through misfortunes and destruction. But we live in a world where Satan is God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is God. John says, you know, that he's a prince in power here. He's prince of this world. He's the ruler of this world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says that he controls this world, the people in the world in the background. So he wants to make sure that these people suffer. And these people that he was terrified, these Israelites, that he wants to make sure that they have misfortune. And the devil, he's in the business of causing you misfortune. And things are happening in the world because there is a curse in the world. And if you don't get Jesus in your life, you can have this on you. Even as a Christian, if you get out of the things of God and go into that realm where Satan is Lord, it can cause you misfortune. I mean, you don't have to be afraid if you make a mistake. I mean, that's a different story. But if you decide, I'm going to leave Jesus and go and live like I'm not even a Christian, you know, things can happen to you. Let alone just a Christian. If you're just being Christian, just minding your own business, things can happen to you. How many of you found out that? Yeah. So the verb means to wish or invoke evil or calamity or injury or destruction upon. That's the verse. That verb means that the curse. You might say, God could hand people over to the consequences of seizing their blessings. You know, that's what it means. On when you decide, I'm going to do things my way, God has to let you go and do your own thing, as you say. I'm doing my own thing. But you're really not doing your own thing. You're going into another realm where the Satan is Lord or God. You're not doing it on your own. I mean, he might let you get away a little bit. And you know, he might even let you do 20 years or whatever it is. Then he's got you. And he's a deceiver. He'll lie to you. And how many times in the scripture we see people say this? What's the use of serving God? I don't see any reason to serve God. Look at all these people that are Christians. Look at them, or look at the righteous people. They're suffering. And look at these people over here. They're unrighteous. They don't get sick. Their kids are doing well. They have money. They have stuff. And they're still wicked, and nothing's happened to them. Don't be misled. The psalmist talked about that, and that's the way he thought. What's the use of living righteous and living holy for God? You know, nothing ever comes good from it. So the blessings of God are the good fortunes of success, and they're a favor of God. So the blessing is actually good fortune or success or the favor of God. When God blesses you, you have good fortune. And you have the favor of God. I mean, you can have favor where you never had favor before. If you go ahead and take it, it doesn't happen automatically. You got to seize it by faith. And there's a devil that's resisting you, telling you you can't take it. So, there is the curse of the law. You know, the law, there's regulations, you know. God shows us about the law. You could try to live by that, but you're going to fail. There's only one person who did it, and that's Jesus. And he went to the cross and died for us so that we can have what he had. And that's righteousness. He gave us righteousness. So it's not depending on the law to make it right with God. God blessed us by faith in Christ when we put our faith in him. And so trying to be right in our own efforts puts us under that curse. The Bible says so. Let's go over here to see this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under the curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in the book of the law. Verse 11. So it's clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law, for the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Verse 12, The way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. Verse 13, as we read, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he hung on the cross. He took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, curses everyone who is hung on the tree. Verse 13 or 14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So we cannot be cursed. I said, you cannot be cursed. I mean, the devil does not have a right to cause misfortune in your life. It's when you are deceived and walk into something, it's because you lacked information and did not, you failed to protect yourself. God does not want you to have, he didn't write in your life story that one day you'll be crippled, or you'll have an accident, or you lost all your money, or you lost your family, or you lost your husband in midlife. God did not write that in the book. You know, you read the scriptures that God had a wonderful plan for us. Like you would have a wonderful plan for your own child. If you would think about this, that when you had a child, you did not plan for, to hurt that child. And yet we think that about God. And we say that God did that. We said God broke that person's leg. You know, we talk about the sovereign God, but what kind of a sovereign God? I ran away from a God like that when I was a young kid. I ran away from church because they told me that everything happened to me until that certain time that God made that happen to me. I was born in a home of addictions, and I was born in a home where I didn't see my mom and dad for weeks. My mom would be missing for a long time. I didn't know where she was. She'd been in the hospital. I didn't know. Because she almost died during her episodes. And I didn't know that she had all these anxiety issues from being in a home in this residential school, and she suffered all these things. And I never saw my mom, you know, really healed. There was days, I mean, I had a wonderful time with my mom, but I went through such a struggle as a kid trying to understand my mom and my dad. And they had issues with addictions when I got older. And they told me in church that this all happened, that God, everything happened to us, that God controlled all this stuff. Said, I ain't going to have this God. I'm getting away from him. So when I ran, finally, as an older teenager, when I went to AA, they told me, you need God in your life. I said, no way. I'm not going to do step three, give my life over to this God. This is the guy who got me all this trouble before. So I struggled with that step three, turning my life over to God, until I became born again in 1892. I'm an old man. So I got born again. You know, when I got born again, when it says in different scriptures, and the one I always remember is Matthew 4, 16, I think it is, where it says that the people who sat in the prison, this is Matthew speaking. I like the way how they portray Matthew in that show. He's like, did you see the show? Yeah, he's like a... Well, anyway, Matthew wrote this book. He says, in there, he says, the people who sat in the region of dark in the prison saw great light. Anyways, I saw great light. When I got born again, I was 24 years old. I think I was 24. Anyway, the light came on. And I said, everything in this world turned bright on me. Somebody turned the light on me. And all of a sudden, I realized I had no more depression. I realized I had no more oppression. When you know you've been oppressed ever since you were a kid, and when you know you were depressed, I remember I was 18 years old, and I was sitting in a doctor's office. My doctor asked me, are you depressed? I didn't know what depression was. No one ever asked me if I was depressed in my life. But I was. And he sent me to a psychiatrist. But when I got born again, the light came on, and everything, all the oppression left me. in a moment of time. I understand the man sitting in the prison, where it said a man in the prison saw a great light, and it was prophesied by Isaiah. And the light came on. My life totally transformed in a moment of time. I was born again. I was just a young man. My life was like just changed in an instant. Just snap your finger. I was free. And all that time, I was struggling with peace. I wanted peace with God. All my life, I wanted peace with God, peace with God. And Billy Graham says, if you want peace from God, if you say this prayer right now, you'll have peace in your life. I wanted peace so much. I was just a young man. I went to church every Sunday. Every Sunday I went to church. I went on my knees in the morning. I went on my knees at night. Every time, all my life, I never had peace. I had religion. But when Jesus came, peace came. Peace came. I was so happy. I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell my mother. My mother thought I was crazy. And all my friends back home on the reserve says to me, you changed your religion. Why are you changing religion? And so, the devil told me, what's happened to you is that you had a nervous breakdown and you're crazy now. But I said, you know, if it is, I love it. I want some more of it. I want to be crazy. It just feels so wonderful. I feel so peaceful. And so that's a little bit of my testimony. So in Numbers 22:12, God told Balaam, and none of us have to suffer curses. God told Balaam, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they are blessed. And this is what God's telling the devil or anybody else about you. So I got born again after I had that experience. And I moved away. I had my first job in Kenora, Ontario. So I was loaded as a Christian. I thought, man, this is the world. I'm now a graduate. I'm going to change the whole world. I'm a graduate of a college. Ta-da! Superman. I'm going to save everybody. And I felt like that on the inside because I was born again, too. Plus, I had a diploma now. Legitimate. So I went to this place, and I started working for Children's Aid. And, I was working for the enemy. I'm an undercover, taking kids out of homes and stuff like that. But I had to do it because that was required by law. So there was a lot of crazy stories in there. Anyway, what I was trying to say is this. So I had to apprehend children because some of them were like being neglected and there was sexual abuse involved and everything. So I had to remove kids. It was hard for me to do it, but I did it. And so I went to this one place and this man says to me, okay, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to mix up some potions over here. I'm going to talk to this man over here and we're going to curse you. We're going to send a curse to you. Well, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about curses and stuff. I knew I heard about them in my family. We heard about, you know, our different, First Nations medicines and stuff. We call bad medicines, and there's terms for it. And so that you can actually do this with each other, and then they curse each other. So me and my loud mother said, you go ahead. So I didn't understand all this stuff. So I went to a prayer meeting and I told these guys about it. And I said, you know, I was over here. These guys told me they're going to curse me. And I told them, go right ahead. And the guy said, don't say that. Well, his reaction scared me. Because maybe he knew something I didn't know. So no, he scared me. So I didn't understand all that. I thought, you know, that, so in my mind, and this is the way people think, maybe here or hearing me on television or somewhere, they think that the devil can just curse you anytime he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to, kick down your door, bang, and grab your kid's head together and bang the kid's head together and open the fridge and eat a sandwich. Right? The devil can't do that. He needs your cooperation to do that. And he can't kill you just because he wants to kill you. And he can't make you sick if he just wants to make you sick. You just have to work hard every day and not rest and don't eat and don't sleep and you'll get sick. It has nothing to do with the curse. Right? This happened to you because you're natural. You wear yourself out. It has nothing to do with God, the devil, anybody else. It has something to do with you. Don't be licking doorknobs. You know, it's this one place I was shaking hands with everybody. And then I had to open something. I went, oh, man, I just shook about 20 hands there. But I didn't know about the curse. I mean, there's people here, maybe perhaps, are afraid that they can just get cursed. The devil can do whatever he wants to do. He can just come and steal all your money and just break up your family and just do whatever he wants. He can't do it. He can't just come and kill you and steal from you. And that's exactly what the devil wants everybody to think. Now, granted, there's Christians who walk away from God and get into trouble. It had nothing to do with how strong the devil was. When I was growing up, my mom used to tell me, oh, the devil, oh, he's strong, you know. And I grew up like that because that's what she was taught in her religion. The devil, oh, yeah, you know what? Don't say stuff like that. The devil, he'll hear you. Understand what Brother Hagin used to say when Brother Hagin said, I double dog dare you. Remember when that preacher said, I'm going to curse you. Brother Higgins said, yeah, I double dog dare you. Huh? And people say, oh, I wouldn't say something like that. You know, that guy's a prophet. Well, he can't be a real prophet if he's cursing people just like Balaam. He said, I know Balaam. He couldn't have done it. And he's not doing it to me either. You know, once you have this information and have this idea, you'll just go walking down the street. Where's the devil? Where is he? Right? Is he in there? Come on. He must be in this guitar. Hey! Right? So you know, we have this idea, this is how it is in the world. And we've been fed a lot of junk and fear, and that's why everybody has anxiety attacks. That's why I had mine. It took a long while for it to get out of me, so I know I don't have anxiety attacks anymore. I'll never have one. I'll tell you right now, I'll never have another one. And I walk through my life saying like this, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of getting old. You know, your body doesn't work like it used to. My body is fine. It works really good. You ask my son over here. We were in the gym. He saw me. But he didn't see me after when I was leaving. You know, so we need to understand these things. So we cannot be cursed. Why? Because God's blessed us first. There's a scripture I love, and I hear a lot of people always talk about it. Isaiah 54:17 is a promise that no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Why? Because we're blessed. We're to be envied. Proverbs 26:2 in the Good News translation says, curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. Well, we don't deserve it because Jesus took the curse for us. Jesus took upon himself that curse alone. And God turns every curse into a blessing. It says over here, Numbers 23:8, it says, but how can I curse whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn whom the Lord has not condemned? Let's go read Deuteronomy 23:4-5, King James. Because he's talking about these people who were coming against the people of Israel, because they met you not with bread and with water in this way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired Balaam, the son of Beor, Pathor, Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God did not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loves you. Somebody said, when we realize how much God loves us, a lot of stuff will disappear. A lot of fears will disappear. When you know that God loves you so much, he cares for everything about you. And I know sometimes that the enemy will come and tell you stuff, whisper in your ear, and you might not even think it's the devil, and you have all these thoughts, and you want to recognize this, that God loves me. That's not going to happen to me, because God loves me. He's planned something good for me. So, all families of the earth. Genesis chapter 12, 1 to 3. Watch this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country. See, that's me. I left my native country years ago. Because it's long lack 58. That's my native country, way back. And you're from Sulakot. You better not mention that here. I'm just kidding. Anyways, the Lord thy God, he said, leave your native country. Verse 2 says, I'll make you into a great nation. He's telling that to one man called, his name is Abraham. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. Verse 3 says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. Notice this. He promises Abraham and his lineage and all his descendants, which is us. He said, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So, Abraham, we're people of faith. Some people say, no, that's only just for the Jews. Well, hey, he's not talking to a Jew. He's talking to a man who, over here that before the creation of the Jews. Abraham was not a Jew when God met him. So in here, let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 4, starting from verse 9. Read a few scriptures. You know, we're going to read scriptures because it's better to read scriptures, right? So now, verse 9, now is the blessing only for Jews or is also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith, not because he was a Jew. Right? But how did it happen? Well, he counted him as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. God didn't say, okay, we're going to snip you here. Now you're righteous. No, God accepted Abraham before he was snipped. Right? And God says, you're, because you believe me, but you'll receive the seal that you're righteous. And that was the circumcision. In that circumcision, it's really symbolic of our lives being cut off from the fleshly life into the spiritual life. That when you invited Jesus in your life, the flesh and all that stuff was cut off. And Jesus entered your life and you became a person of faith just like Abraham. It was a spiritual circumcision. That's why the light comes on. Verse 11, circumcision was a sign Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. Verse 12, and Abraham also is the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they had the same kind of faith as Abraham had before he was circumcised. Now he's talking about those people there. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on right relationship with God that comes by faith. You, my friend, are free right now, not because you do everything right. You cannot, if you try to do everything right, you cannot do it. That's why Jesus came. Right now, you're righteous before God because you trusted Jesus. You trusted him, and God sees you as righteous. He counts it as righteous, as if Jesus himself or did it for you. You know, when you're raised from the dead, when Jesus was raised from the dead, you were raised with him. When Jesus was on the cross, you were there with him. When he went down, you went down with Jesus. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When we were sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? When you're raised, we're there with Jesus right now. That's our position. Not under, you're not trying. I was reading yesterday from a national Pentecostal faith healing preacher put on his Facebook. Such and such is really sick. This minister is sick. And we're going to bombard the gates of heaven for his healing. Well, you don't have to bombard the gates of heaven. You can just come right in. The door's always open. You don't have to just try to fight your way to get into heaven to talk to God. Jesus said, come on in. I made your right. Right now, the Bible says, if you read Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1, you're going to see right there that God already made you holy, sinless, acceptable in his sight. Right now, you as a born-again believer are sinless and pure in his sight. And you'll never be any more pure 1,000 years from now. You're blessed. I got more to say on this, but you cannot bear it now. Amen, come on. I mean, is this good though? Yeah. I mean, we're redeemed from the curse. Yeah. And you can just walk around now. Said, I'm like pastor now. I got my super duper clothes on. Hallelujah. Amen.